All right. Oh, my goodness. Jesus, I pray that you be with us in this next few minutes. As we open your word, would you please speak to us clearly about who we are and about your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name. Amen. So a quick word about our small groups with True North. You'll meet this week, and then we'll have the next 2 weeks off. The first 2 weeks of April will be off, and we'll let you know about reading stuff coming back into that, but I wanted to let you know that. And in case you have to leave before you see the last slide, this week we're going to read John 14, 15, and 16. Can everybody say John 14, 15, and 16? Now, here's the deal. I would really encourage you to do more than read this before your group. I would encourage you to try to read this throughout the week. This will probably take you 15 minutes at the most to read. And I would encourage you, as you're preparing for your small group, but even coming out of it, just meditate on the word, chew on the word. And this week, we're really looking for what does Jesus teach us about the Holy Spirit and identity in this passage, okay? So this morning, we're going to talk about a little bit of that, but there's going to be more if you'll need to read because we don't have time to cover all of it. And this morning, we're going to talk about identity and the Holy Spirit. This is, I think, the sixth week that we've been journeying through. How many of you were here last week? How many of you were here last week? Man, that's a weird podcast if you weren't here to listen to that. That was something. Guys, I was just wrecked thinking about the goodness of God. And so I thought, oh, maybe I should just try to teach what I was going to teach last week. And I really was asking the Lord, God, what do you have to say for us as a family this week? And I really felt the Lord was saying, we're going to build on some of those scriptures, but we're going to really look at what God has to say about identity and how the practical outpouring of identity is really not found in information. It's found in the person of the Holy Spirit. So would you just take a minute and pray for yourself? Would you take like 30 seconds? Put your hand on your heart, pray. Holy Spirit, come reveal yourself to me in your word. Help me to see you clearly. Guys, can you pray for freedom right now to come? God's just working. God, we just pray for freedom right now to come in Jesus' name. God, we pray for deliverance right now in Jesus' name. God, we pray for every spirit that's tormented to be set free. God, I place for every place where there's fear to be set free. And God, we pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here's what I need you to do. We're going to actually have a little group participation today, so I'm going to move quickly at the beginning. If you have a question, I want you to stop me because I'm really wrestling with what I talked about last week. I do not want to have an encounter with God, come in here, and just give you a book report on it, right? So it's like really important that we're going to ask God to allow us to encounter his truth together today. And so that's not something I can just put on a slide. So if we have questions, let me know. So we've said for the last several weeks that identity answers the question, or the topic of identity answers this question, who am I? But what I want to like do today is I want to go a little bit further and ask you this question, and I want you to shout out really loud, why does knowing who I am matter? Why is that so important that we would take 6 weeks before we start talking about sexuality and gender to talk about knowing who we are? What do you think? We live out of who we are. Is there a scripture that pops in anybody's head that confirms that? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay? Any other thoughts? Why is identity so important? That's so good. If we don't know who we are, then everyone else will tell us. Remember what Jesus said. He's talking to his disciples. He says, "Who do men say that I am?" They say you are Elijah. They say you are John the Baptist. Listen, even godly people will try to put you in an image they understand. God is not looking to make you in the image of someone else. Whose image has he made you in? His. I think this is a really important reason why the answer to this question is so important. I have to know who he's made me to be so I can be in alignment with his design for my life. Maya, I love you. I don't know you that well, but I know Candace and I know Sarah and they talk about you. And so I feel like it's kind of weird because I feel like I know you more than I do, right? But if I try to know her just according to what other people say about her, unless they have the heart of the Father, I will not know her rightly. Does that make sense? But if I know people, because Jesus went beyond whenever the disciples said, hey, some say you're John the Baptist, some say that you're Elijah. He says, but who do you say that I am? He said, oh, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus answered and said, hey, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. So we want to know people according to what God says about them. Listen, Paul says, I will no longer know anyone according to the flesh. That is a stunning statement that is not meant to create a hardship for you. It's meant to create an invitation for you that the way that you know Doug is not by a list of faults that you find in him, but you know Doug according to what the Father says about him. How do you think that would change our relationships? Make him a lot better. And I can only be free to relate to Stephanie that way when I know who God says I am. If I try to relate to Stephanie and get God's heart for Stephanie, but I don't walk in God's heart for myself, it will not be healthy. Right? You ever seen someone who gets idolized a lot? You ever experienced it? How do they feel? They usually feel like nobody knows them. That's right. So they feel alone. But if I can know who God says I am and I can be confident in his design for me and what he says about me, then I can be free to know that in Ray and begin to agree with what God says about Ray. And then what I'm doing is I begin actually to call Ray into the Father's plan for him as I just relate with him. Does that make sense? Okay. Now listen, I want to make a really quick jump over to the sexuality thing. And then we'll come back, okay? Because I want you to see, like, how does this tie into sexuality? How does this tie into gender? Well, let me speak really quickly about this. For the last several months, there's been a grace for me to have conversations with leaders about why it's important for us to spend time seeking God about our identity and about sexuality and gender. And one of the questions I'll have, especially with friends, like people I feel connected to, is I'll say this: hey, the reason why it's so important for us to be able to be confident as we teach and father and mother into people, into identity, is because of the way the world is happening around the church right now. So listen, I'll just ask the question, hey, what is it going to be like whenever our spiritual sons and daughters start making disciples and reaching transvestites? And they'll look at me and they'll go, shoot, I didn't think about that. Or we'll start talking about families who've been together for years, who are same-sex couples who've been married, and they start coming to Jesus. And we say, hey, how are we going to disciple them? Well, this week, I had this encounter with God on Tuesday morning. I was getting ready to go meet with Gabe. That's an encounter enough, I mean. I was getting ready to go meet with Gabe, and we were going to spend time talking about this morning. And I woke up, and I really don't remember the dream that I had, but I had a dream, and I woke up, and I just had so much compassion in my heart. And I'd just been talking with my friend Jeff Struss about this stuff last week. And I thought about Jeff, and then all of a sudden, like, I started seeing, like, pictures of, like, faces. And I said, God, you know, what is this? And God took that question and went beyond the hypothetical. Like, what if? It's like, the fact is, don't you know if God has been preparing us for a journey for the last 2 years, that there are people that he is wanting us to learn how to love? He's wanting us to learn who we are and his design in our lives so we can be free. Listen, people won't be attracted to you because of what you know up here. But if you have freedom in your life, they'll say, I want that. They're not going to be attracted to the information that you carry. But if you carry the seed of Christ and you know how to move with compassion and sincerity and truth, you will be attractive to them. Listen, the world may hate you, but this is what scripture said about Jesus, that sinners were always being drawn to him. They were always being drawn to him. Why? Because what was in his life. So I started looking. I'm like, God, what are you saying? And God, like, guys, this is, you know, this is my relationship with God. I'm not trying to build a doctrine out of this. This is my relationship with God. I'm sharing that with you, okay? Understand. All of a sudden, I just had a picture in my head of a leper colony. And how in the leper colony, they had to stand far away and cry out unclean. And God told me this. He said, what the church doesn't understand, it will avoid. What the church doesn't understand, it will avoid. And I began, and Adrian and I were talking and praying about this later, and Adrian just started like, man, she just went there. It was amazing. Yeah, go mommy. Guys, you remember the story where the leper comes out of the crowd and falls in front of Jesus? Remember that story? It's very important. Because there's something for us to learn. There's something in this moment I think is important and we're going to talk about today. The leper comes and falls out of the crowd. Remember what he said? He said, if you want to, you can make me clean. If you want to, you can make me clean. Now, he didn't question his power. He knew the power of God. He said, if you want to, if it's your desire to, you can make me free. Now, just think for just a second, what did a leper go through? A leper was ostracized. I don't know if the scripture tells us how long this man had leprosy, but a leper had to go and not touch anyone. They had to leave their family, go to a separate place and not touch anyone. Had to hold, if they saw another human being outside a leper colony, they had to hold their hand over their face and cry out, unclean! Unclean. The leper comes where Jesus is. As he falls out of the crowd, he falls at his feet. He says, if you want to, you can make me clean. You know the next thing Jesus did? Now let's step back for just a second. Remember Jesus sees a blind guy, looks down, makes some mud, puts it in his eye. That's an option. Sees another blind guy and he spits on him right in the eye. Jesus didn't make mud for the leper. He didn't spit on the leper. There's a man who comes to Jesus and he has great faith and he says, come. He said, come, my daughter is sick. And before Jesus even responds, he says, hey, you don't even have to come. Just say the word. How many of you know Jesus could have said the word? Be clean. But you know the first thing Jesus did to this leper? He reached out and touched him. I believe that God wants to do something in our lives where we know who we are and we're so in line with God's design that we're not afraid to touch anyone. That we will give our life, we'll put life on life with anyone so people can get free. So Jesus laid his hands on him and he said, I want to be clean. And that is what the world is waiting for. Guys, it goes way beyond gender. It goes way beyond sexuality. There's all kinds of places where people's lives feel broken and they're not looking for Christians who have correct information. They're looking for people who carry the spirit of freedom inside their life because they know Jesus and they become one with Jesus. And that's the call on our life. The world is looking for light in the midst of darkness. Acts 17, read it. Listen, if you don't believe me, you think, oh no, the world doesn't want it. No, go back and read what the Apostle Paul spoke in the middle of an idol garden where he tells them, God is not as far away as you might think. In the middle of an idol garden, he proclaims to them, hey, the one that, and there's an unknown God there. He says, the one that you don't know about, I know. Let me tell you about him. God is really passionate about meeting us. So listen, we can't live out of who we are. We can't bring freedom to other people until we know who we are. Do you understand the importance of that? Yes? Help me out, guys. Come on. We're going to go real quick now. I'm going to review a couple things. Identity in the cross. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. We talked about what happened there. But I want to just highlight why he went to the cross. He went to the cross for love. He went, listen, there was a lot that he accomplished there. There was sanctification, there was justification, there was redemption. But he went for love. Listen to what the scripture says. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called the children of God. Where did that take place? The transaction took place at the cross. We're going to come back to this scripture in just a little bit. In John 14, it says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. Can you say, come to the Father? Why did Jesus come, right? Jesus came to us so we could go to Father. Listen, this is really important. This is really important in the terms of understanding our identity and understanding the purpose of the life and death of Jesus Christ. Is that you and I, guys, God wasn't looking to make Christians. He was looking to redeem sons and daughters. Does that make sense? He was not looking to start a new religion. He was looking for those who had made in his own image for fellowship to bring them back. We can go to Genesis and we can see a promise in Genesis where God spoke to Adam and Eve and he begins to prophesy about the one who's going to come and bruise the head of the serpent. Because the very plan of God, and we said this, I think, last week or the week before. Listen, the cross was not God's reaction to our sin. It was done ahead of time. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. Why? Because he loves you and he made a provision for you. Before sin entered the world, God had a provision for us. And so it was more than just coming to God. I could have come to him as a servant or a slave, but it was coming to Father. And so in answering that question of why Jesus went to the cross to show us his love, we came to the scripture in Romans 5, and I'm just going to breeze through this right now, but I want to read verse 8. And guys, if you have not read Romans 5, 1 to 10, in the last couple of weeks, please don't miss this. If you need to, even if you need to make a Siri voice message right now, I would be okay with it. I would rather you do that than miss it. Because in Romans 5, God begins to lay out what his grace looks like, the grace that he has allowed us to stand in. And it's going to bring us today to our jumping off spot for Holy Spirit. But in Romans 5, 8, it says this, but God commends his love, or he demonstrates his love to us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a very important passage. And there's kind of like two different paragraphs here. The first five verses talk so much about the hope of God we get to live in Romans 5. And then in Romans 8, again, it comes back and touches on those same things about the hope of God and what hope looks like. How many of you know people who need hope right now? Listen, there is a very clear understanding. You do not have to pray if it's God's will for you to walk in hope. It is a part of what happened when Jesus died on the cross to give us a hope. So in Romans 5, actually, can you turn there real quick? I'll read those verses as we go through. Holy Spirit, please help us. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to have peace with God? David, what does that mean to have peace with God? That's right. We have right relationship. Verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Guys, that was so powerful when Gabe was teaching through Romans to understand. I don't have to pray for a grace that comes and goes. God has given me a grace to stand in. Every day when I wake up, his mercies are new every morning. I don't have to go looking for grace. He has caused me to walk in grace. He's caused me to stand in grace. But in that, I have access. And last week, I prayed this prayer. And I said, having access does not guarantee intimacy. But we have an access with God because of what he did on the cross. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that our tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Guys, this scripture teaches us that we have grace. It teaches us that we have hope. It teaches a little bit later on in the passage that we have been reconciled and made right with God. But it's all based in this thing in verse 5 is like the hinge about this hope, which is not going to disappoint us because we have a love. How many for you, you can say sometimes like the love of God seems kind of ambiguous about how that relationship works, right? It's like, yeah, I know God loves me, but I'm not really sure about how that actually works. Listen to what verse 5 says. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, guys, is there anything about you that can change the nature or character of God? Anybody, any questions about that? Right? So, I mean, in a way, it just seems like, well, God's God and I'm me. And there's a view of God in sovereignty that says, well, whatever God wants is going to happen anyway. Right? And that can put me in a place where my relationship with God can feel a little bit vague as far as how I actually pursue that. Does that make sense? Okay. Here we have the Apostle Paul writing in the midst of this letter. And he's getting, I mean, think about where he's getting ready to go in chapter 6, in chapter 7, in chapter 8. And he's writing here and he's saying, listen, we have a hope that doesn't disappoint because we are loved by God through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, it is really important that we understand that this relationship we have with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was never intended to be passive. It was never intended just to be a thing, well, God's God and I'm me, and like heaven's better than hell, so I'll go there. Like, that's not what it was about. It's about a real relationship where the Father loves us so much that he said, Son, will you go and give your life so we can bring them back? That's what the word redeemed means, right? Holy Spirit, please help. Guys, I ask you right now, if there's any place, like, man, maybe I'm missing it, but if there's any place where you feel like, hey, if it's hard to connect, hard to tune in, can you just pray? Will you pray as you listen? Will you pray as you listen? Listen, the person of the Holy Spirit, because of the cross, because of what Jesus did at the cross, identity is really found in an ongoing outpouring relationship with Holy Spirit. And I want us to look at two kind of thought patterns today. Maybe we'll only get to one. I'd rather get to one and us get it than get to two and not get it. So can you turn in your word to Galatians chapter 4? Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Yeah, Jesus, we ask you, would you come and would you testify? Holy Spirit, yeah, you come and you testify about who Jesus is. But Jesus, as we listen to the words of Scripture, may we hear your heart today. May we hear your heart. And yeah, and whether you are brought up as a tongue-talking Pentecostal, or whether you were brought up in a tradition like I was, where the Holy Spirit was kind of like not talked about that much, like if you are a child of God, you have access to an ongoing living relationship with Holy Spirit. And we are praying today that God would show us and demonstrate for us how he wants to pour out his love, because he doesn't want any of us feeling like the love of God is something far away and vague. He wants us to know it and walk in it and have it as the foundation of our lives. So if you're here and you feel like you have that foundation in your life, pray for each other, pray for our brothers and sisters. But let's not be in neutral today. In Galatians chapter 4, as always, the scripture is richer if you read the whole thing in context. And so that's why we read the letter of Galatians just a few weeks ago. But if you look at the end of chapter 3, in verse number 26, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Can you say faith? What does the word faith means? What's that? Okay. Trust, that's an aspect of faith. Okay. Okay, that's again, that's aspect of faith. Can you remember, will someone turn to Hebrews 11, 1, unless you can quote it. What does Hebrews tell us about what faith is? What's that? Okay, what were you going to say? Same thing. So faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things unseen. Wait a second. How am I a son? By a substance of something unseen. By putting that faith in Jesus, there's a substance, right? There is a, it's not just an imaginary, maybe it is, maybe it's not. It's something real in Jesus. It's me putting my hope. It's me putting that trust into something that's got substance to it, right? How many of you have ever drank from a styrofoam cup? Right? How many of you would think that if I sat on a styrofoam cup, it would hold me? Right? So a styrofoam cup is real, but like it's not going to hold up under the weight, right? So I don't want to have a faith that's a substance that's like styrofoam. I want to have a substance that is concentrated. I want my faith to grow. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. Listen, I can't educate myself into identity, but I can begin to hear by faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave. Say slave. Though he is master of all, but he is under guardians and stewarded until the time appointed by the fathers. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Say adoption. The time appointed. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption. Adoption as sons. So we'll watch today, there's a contrast in scripture between slavery and sonship. Say slavery. Say sonship. Listen to what he says in verse number 6. And because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So here's the deal. It may have said that earlier. It may have said that. We'll talk after, okay? So here's this idea of a papa God. This is what the word Abba means. The closest thing, if you want to say daddy, if you want to say papa, but it's definitely this relational connecting. This is relationship. Say relationship. So he says, listen, when we were little, we weren't that much different from slaves because we had to have someone take care of us. We were under a form of bondage until the fullness of time. But in the fullness of time, the Father sent the Son. So listen, these people were living around the time of Christ. When the Father sent the Son to come and die for us, that was a historical event that happened thousands of years ago. You track that? But look, in verse 6, he says, because you are a son, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son. See that? What does this say to us? Look at this. The Father sent the Spirit of his Son. If we have time today, we'll go look at how Jesus describes this happening. The Father sent the Spirit of his Son. Who sent the Spirit? Do you remember in the book of Acts? Jesus is getting ready to ascend to heaven. And what does he tell them to do? He said, go to Jerusalem and wait for what? power of on high, but he calls it the promise of the Father. Go wait for the promise of the Father. Who is the promise of the Father? Holy Spirit. Now, guys, we're not trying to like impress each other with our theological information. We're talking about identity here. There is something that took place at the cross when identity happened. The Father sent the Son to move us from slavery to sonship. But then there's something that happens beyond the cross where the Father sends the Spirit of his sons into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Who is crying out in this passage? Look at it. Look at verse number 6. What'd you say, Adrian? God sent forth the Spirit of his Son, crying out, Abba, Father. Who is crying out, Abba, Father? The Spirit of the Son. All right? So can we get some help real quick? Dan, can you come here? Actually, Dennis and Dan, can you both come here? Dennis, you mind helping out? All right. Dennis, do you want to be Dennis or you want to be Jesus? I'll let you pick. All right, you'll be Dennis. So you get to be Jesus. That's a stretch, but we'll go there, okay? So, Gabe, you come here. You get to be the Father. Gabe, come stand over here, and you go with him, okay? Now, here's what the Scripture is saying. Like, if you don't, let's look at the Word. But the Father sent forth the Spirit of his Son deep into our heart, okay? So can you send forth the Spirit of your Son? Send him, like, so it's, I think it's like a bow and arrow kind of sending. I don't think it's like a, I look like Bocce or something, right? Yeah. He sent for the Spirit of his Son, whoa, deep into your heart. Listen, this was not intended to be some surfacey thing. Where did he go? Deep in your heart. And as that's happening, as the Spirit of the Son is leaving the Father, right, flowing from the Father, come, let's back. Let's do it again. Don't take him out, man. That's a carpet, man. Right? What are you crying? Yeah. Ready? Bam. All right. Can you see that? You got to stay put. You got to stay put. You're no longer slaves, but sons because of what happened at the cross when the Father sent the Son and what is happening ongoing where the Father is sending the Spirit of his Son. Do you get that? That makes sense. Yes, no. If it doesn't, please tell me. Okay, so over here we have the cross. It was something that happened 2,000 years ago, and the Father sent the Son at the fullness of time. Why? To move us at the cross from slavery to sonship. Right? But there's an ongoing relationship that Paul is talking about. Come back over here, Jesus. Where Paul is talking and he says, hey, because of Calvary, because you are a son, the Father sent the Spirit of his Son deep into his heart, crying,
Daddy.
Stay here. Therefore, because this happened, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Why does it say he sent him? Why does it say that the Father sent him? Because he was already a son. Listen to this. Got to watch this. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us. God is not trying to play tricks. He was already a son. But in the sending of the Spirit of the Son, he gets to know I'm no longer a slave. Holy Spirit, please help. Let's do this one more time. Go back over there. Actually, come here for a second. Come here. And Dennis, you step back for a second. Because I don't want to, maybe we're skipping a part. Let me read what the word says. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Guys, look, there's something that happened at the cross that allows you to receive the adoption as sons. That happened. It's history. It's something that already, say history. This sending of the Son is history. Do you get that? It's history. It happened. But now, decades later, Paul is writing to Dennis in this church at Galatia. And he says, because of the cross, because that in the fullness of time he came, because your Son, the Father, sent the Spirit of his Son deep into your heart, crying out, therefore, you're no longer a slave, you're a son. Guys, the work, the transforming work, and listen, in John 14, Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. We're not going to get there today. Derek, please remind me to send these notes out. But guys, if you go back and you look at 1 John chapter 2 and 3, and then you go read John 14 and 15, you will find the parallels of abiding in him. How do we abide in him? We abide in him through the person of the Holy Spirit. We abide in him. 1 John tells them, abide in truth. Because the world, he says, don't love the world or the things that are in the world, because he contrasts what comes from the Father and what comes from the world. And he says there is a spirit of truth. And that spirit of truth is the spirit, Jesus said, it's the spirit of Christ. Now, can you guys just step back for just a second? Let me say this, because don't go too far, Father, because we have one more verse we have to do. Guys, listen, in 1 John, how many of you read 1 John when we're doing the True North groups? Okay. You remember we're talking about the anointing? Do you remember that? He was talking about the anointing that you have. You already have an anointing? Did anybody make the connection of why he was saying that? Why? Okay, talk about it. And in that context, or in that passage, he said, the Antichrist is coming, and Antichrists, many Antichrists are already in the room. How many of you remember what the word Christ means? Well, yes, but does anybody remember what it means? Like the specific word, Christ? Anointed one. All right, so ready. Many anti-anointed ones are coming. Many who don't have the spirit of the Christ in them are coming, but the spirit of truth, abide in the spirit. Abide in the spirit of the Christ. Many anti-anointing are coming. And so he says to them, listen, this is important. He says to them that when we behold the kind of love the Father has given to us, that we become children of God. Do you remember what the end of that paragraph was? It says that everyone who has this hope purifies himself. All right, Gabe, come back up here. Guys, turn to Romans 8 real quick. We're going to end here. So what we have in Galatians is you are no longer slaves but son, and we have the spirit of the Son crying out, Abba, Father. Now, in Romans 8, guys, please take some time and hover in Romans 8 and Galatians 4. Paul is writing to two different churches, two different groups of people at different times. He was not like grabbing copy and paste on his computer. This is something he thought was foundational for the people of the church that were in Rome and the people of Galatia. But this is what he says in Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage. Again, say bondage. But you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Dan, come back over. Dennis, come back up. Yep. So now we have this contrast again, because the people of God were still thinking that they could walk in bondage to sin. I had a conversation with someone I love this week. They're not a part of our community. But they called me, and the way they described the ongoing struggle they have with the sin in their life is that this is going to last forever, and I need to figure out how to cope with that. Can anybody relate to that feeling? I'm not asking if you think it's true, but can you relate with that feeling? Like, I'm never going to get past this. It's always going to be present. But God says, I am not giving you, I'm not leading you again into a spirit of bondage. That's not my nature. What's the opposite of bondage? You did not receive a spirit of bondage again, because that's not my nature, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So watch this. Galatians, it says, the Father sent forth the spirit of his son deep into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Here it says, now stay close. Now there's union between us and the Holy Spirit. Right? In him, I am free. In him, I am holy and blameless. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in me. Guys, this is not like some cute thing, like, oh, let's go and circle all the places that says something nice about us. Jesus went to Calvary so you could have freedom, so I could have freedom. He went to Calvary so I don't have to live like a slave anymore. So Galatians, we find Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, coming, crying out, Daddy. And there's this relationship where as that happened and we receive the spirit of adoption, who's crying out, Daddy, this time? We are. You see that? As we receive the spirit of adoption crying out, Abba, Father, we begin a relationship in that union where we are transformed as we allow, as we become vulnerable to what Holy Spirit's saying. In the same way that I started out and said, hey, whenever I begin to know David, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, when I begin to speak what the Father is saying, it calls him into that. Whenever we hear what the Spirit of God is saying and we agree with that, it calls us into God's design for our life. It calls us into our destiny and into our identity, because we begin to cry out, Daddy. Guys, if we had an understanding, if we had an understanding of what the scriptures were offering to us. Yeah, Holy Spirit, please help. Paul says to the Romans, we have hope that will not disappoint, because we have love poured out in our heart. I don't understand why, but guys, for so many of us, if we can come to days where we don't know. We don't know that active, ongoing outpouring of Holy Spirit's love in our heart, of God's love through the Holy Spirit in our lives. You guys can be seated. Whew. Yeah, let's pray. Yeah, just bow your head and close your eyes. I often thought after the Lord began to teach me, and I really am thankful for the way that I grew up. I grew up Baptist, and one of the things that the Baptist taught me, first of all, I'm just grateful for the Baptist, because the Baptist who cared enough about my family to tell the gospel to them. These people who moved into the neighborhood and came and knocked on some doors and invited my dad and his sisters to go to Sunday school. I'm often convicted, because sometimes I can look in disdain for people who pass out tracts and it's like, oh, there's better ways to do it. But I thank God for some people who had some tracts and who shared the gospel with my dad's family. My dad was a son of alcoholics. That was his identity. He was ashamed to have friends come over because he never knew what was going to happen. My dad told me the story one time of coming home with a friend. I think it was in fifth grade. And he came home and his uncle was naked and drunk in the backyard. And he was so embarrassed. And he never could have anybody come to his house because he didn't know. He didn't know what was going to happen. And that was what the McCoy name was. But some people came and they told my family about Jesus. And my dad's sister came to Jesus. And over 50 years ago, my dad gave his life to Jesus as a teenage boy. And so I grew up in a family hearing about Jesus as the most important person in my life. And in one generation, the identity was completely changed. But the Baptist taught me to believe the word of God, and I began to read, and I began to study, and I began to recognize Holy Spirit is someone I'm supposed to have a relationship with. I'm supposed to walk with him. I'm supposed to, like, keep in step with him. It says don't quench the Holy Spirit. It says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And it sounds a lot like someone who's real. It's not just someone who lives in my heart and is going to be with me if I sin or if I don't. Yeah, he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me, but it's a relationship. And I remember whenever I was in this season of my life, when I began to realize I had, like, treated the Holy Spirit like someone to avoid. But if we had the time to go through and read all that the Scriptures has to say about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us about who we are, if I were a lawyer and I were trying to lay out a case, I feel like there's a good case. But I'm not. And you're not here judging against the Holy Spirit. But would you pray with me right now that we would be really aware of the Father's heart who sends the Spirit of his Son deep into our hearts, crying out, Daddy, I don't think I have lived in the reality that the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit is crying out in my life, Daddy. And he is faithful to testify, Daddy. And there is a response that I was designed to give out, where my heart says the same thing that his heart does. Where my spirit, I cry out together with him, Father. All of Abigail's life, I've held her and sang, my girl. And now when I sing, my girl, she sings back, your girl. And I think that's the relationship dynamic that God is wanting to draw us into, where it's not enough to know a historical fact that he died on the cross. I'm so thankful for that. And we never move beyond that. But that is the foundation of our faith. And he wants to give us the Spirit of his Son in a way that our lives live as an outcry to Father. Jesus said, when his disciples asked him, how do we pray? He said, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy Spirit, would you come and testify to us about the relationship between Jesus and the Father? And as we begin to follow Jesus more in this area of identity, God, would the cry that is in the heart of Jesus be the cry that's within our heart? Father in heaven, holy is your name. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You guys just stand. As we've spent 6 weeks talking about our identity as sons and daughters, our identity as the bride of Christ, identity in union with him, it's primarily focused on who we are as individuals. There's another aspect of identity that we'll touch on as we move into sexuality. But guys, we spent time, and I I just say to you that there is no place outside of the Holy Spirit where we begin to walk in our identity as sons and daughters, where we walk in our identity. Listen, it is because of the Spirit. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Again, the Holy Spirit comes whenever the Bible says in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit was poured out and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There are several things that happen. Most commonly, they begin to speak in other tongues. It also said they would prophesy. It says they spoke the word with boldness. There were different things that happened in the filling of the Spirit. But as we move beyond the narrative of Acts and into the instructions that Paul gives the church, there is this ongoing instruction of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so again, whether you grew up, you know, in a church that was a quote-unquote Spirit-filled church and you've always been comfortable in knowing about the Holy Spirit, I would just encourage you and charge you to cry out and hunger for more. The Holy Spirit is not a collectible. It's not like you just get it. Like it says, be filled and keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's an aspect of our understanding identity that I'm just going to be very honest with you. You may be far past me in this, but I feel like the more I'm studying and reading the word and just listening, I just find a deeper hunger in my heart for more of Holy Spirit to lead me into who I was made to be as a son of God, into who I was made to be as a part of his body. It was with boldness and humility that I cry out for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in my life. If you grew up like I did and you grew up kind of like not understanding or not hearing very much about Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you, don't let anything frighten you about Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Christ. But I would just like to make space today for us to pray. For us to, like, man, this is a very personal thing, but it's also a family thing. And being in that community yesterday for Jason and Laurie's wedding, I watched this church community had a lot of similar identity kind of things that we had. They got started in 1980. And I watched Jason and Laurie and their bridal party filled with lifelong friends. And I watched this group of parents who grew up together, parents and youth group retreats, getting married and having kids that are getting married and having kids. And I don't know what God's going to do with you. I don't know how long you'll be here, but I will tell you this. We will never get to a place without the Holy Spirit where the things that are in our heart become the reality. Right? So the dreams in our heart, were, if they're from God, they're conceived by the Holy Spirit, and it will require him. It will require his presence to be lived out. So I want to pray, Gabe, maybe if you can pray after a few minutes, but I want to make space for us to pray together as a family. If you say, I have some questions about Holy Spirit, like I would love to talk to you. If you're here today and somehow like you're like, man, I don't know if I know Jesus. I don't know if I've ever really received Jesus as the king of my life, as the leader of my life, then I would love, there's so many people who would love to just like make sure that you are confident that you know who Jesus is. But if you're not, if you say, hey, I know Jesus, but I don't feel like I know Holy Spirit, like, man, don't leave here without a confidence. And then for all of us, let's just cry out for more. So God, yeah, I just stay in this place right now, God. I don't know how to do this. You are birthing something in us. I believe, God, I just speak by faith, God, you are birthing something in us. And God, we want our, listen, guys, this is, I'm not saying that we don't care about the word. No, we build our faith upon the word. But we're not content just by having the right information. We have to know the word. Jesus says in John 14, about the Holy Spirit, that he would encounter us. He would manifest himself to us. He would make himself known to us. So we say, God, whatever we've experienced before, whatever we've known you before, God, today, there's a grace that we get to stand in today by your Holy Spirit. And God, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would begin to come and just pour out your heart. God, that every one of us, God, your word says that you do that. God, let us be aware of the outpouring of your Spirit today to show us your love in our hearts. God, I pray for every person who would feel distant from love. God, every person that would feel distant from love. God, by your word, give us faith to believe that you are pouring out. You are pouring out your love in our hearts through the person of the Holy Spirit. God, would you even come right now as this time of prayer? God, would you just come and fill our hearts with fresh fire as we pray?